Good evening, folks. It is December 14th, 2017. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Natural Healing Call. Welcome, Wonder Ann.
Welcome, Robert, and the wonderful voice of the gentleman that was talking. This is exciting to hear new voices. And so many times I'm wanting you people to join in because it's your call. It's not my call. It is a call where all of us come forward and actually share the fruits of our own learning. Just like you said, sir, that you look back and look at what you accomplished. If we don't pat ourselves on the back for accomplishing something, we have been drilled, well, you're not worth anything. You haven't accomplished anything. But we've accomplished many things during the day. Getting up in the morning is an accomplishment. How many people want to just put the sheet or blanket over their head and just stay in bed? Getting out of bed is an accomplishment. It's a wellness that you're getting out of bed and giving yourself credibility. So much of that has done, as you said very wisely, young man, has been lost, and we need to resurrect it and look at other things. I got a magazine today from a Carotic Health Report, and I do a health and wellness on Friday morning called the Health and Wellness for the Golden Age, because so many of us are over the hill and not on sleds going down the hill because we're working on our health. But here is something, right in the middle of the front page, it says, ignorance is the root and stem of all evil. Guess who said that?
Well, there's been a lot of people, so you tell us.
Well, they've said it differently. Ignorance is the root of evil, or love of money is the root of all evil, all this stuff. But Plato said it back in 428 to 348 B.C., before we came, if you want to put B.C. And the issue here in this book, there's a very interesting article that I just was going to read. It's very extensive, so I'm not going to read it all. Even the economic hitman offers some points in it. But it's called The Politics of Agriculture, How a Select Group of Corporate Powerhouses Commandeered the World's Food Supply. Now, who do we think that could be? Well, Monsanto was the first name that pops into my head. But I wanted to read this introduction because of what it's building. The politics of agriculture is one of the most fascinating stories in the past century, bar none. The political mechanization of how agriculture was transformed gets lost in the noble task of pointing out the harms of modern agricultural ills, such as pesticides, herbicides, GMOs, and depleted soils. However, in this article, we will explain the politics of agriculture in brief fashion because knowing how powerful forces shape us is the first step towards personal liberation. I'm going to repeat that. Because knowing how powerful forces shape us is the first step towards personal liberation. You said before you'd like to look, young man, at what you did for the day and say, I did that. I accomplished that. How many people go into a 9-to-5 job, sit at a computer, and actually feel they never accomplish a thing? Same old, same old. Oh, I just do it for the money. I just get so bored at work. You've heard all the lies. But this is a very interesting thing because that is what they're doing to you. Because knowing how powerful forces shape us is the first step towards personal liberation. We say personal because the odds of the population rising up and defeating agribusiness are slim. Why? What is the back, the little nagging thing in the back? If we don't let them do their work, we won't have any food for the table. How many of you have yards? How many of you have balconies? How many of you have walls? How many different ways can you make a garden? They've all been in the paper. They've been on the internet. There, you can go on YouTube. There are a gazillion ways you can grow food. In a pot, in a flower box. Come on. We don't need agribusiness. We need chutzpah. We need to have, I don't want to get there. I was going to use a body part, but I won't go there. But you know what I mean.
And quickly, just think of all the tremendous variations of seeds that would come, you know, from all the different food sources of everybody who's involved in it, instead of just Monsanto making the seed. Excuse me for interrupting you.
That's perfectly right. No, please interrupt. This is your program. Please.
All right, and if everybody was growing what they could, some people wouldn't be successful at growing even enough food to feed themselves, but other people would grow more than they needed, and they could share that with other people, and the seeds produced would just naturally become better and better instead of what we've got going on, or it appears to me what they're selling in seed packets is purposely designed to not be a productive plant. And now in the year 2010, 2015, I notice vegetable seeds in the garden, they just don't produce like they used to. And I'm convinced that is planned out to make us think we can't do it, you know, and not be productive.
Excellent point, because all these years they've been saying, well, you can get heritage seeds, these heritage seeds. Well, where are the heritage seeds coming from? And are they really, truly reproducible? I've gone to a local nursery here and said they've got wonderful reproducing things, but the vegetables I got were sickly, just like you said. And you think you're a bad guy. No, I've done one of those mound-type gardens, and the ground is great. I've got three fruit trees now growing in the ground because I couldn't get vegetables to grow in it because of the seeds. So you're bringing up, and if you can't grow something, maybe just what you said, sir, you build something. You do the trade.
200 million people planting seeds. Some of them are going to find really productive plants come out of that, and all of a sudden they tell their neighbor, wow, I've got this tomato plant that it was really delicious, made a lot of tomatoes, here's some seeds. And that becomes, you know, the productive DNA for the future of everybody's food supply. And they've hidden that. They've taken that away from us, that natural process. So,
and that's absolutely true. And however, if you're growing your vegetables or anything out in this air today, you're getting plastered by the chemical trails. So it's being chemicalized, which is deadly for your body. So what I'm recommending is make a greenhouse effect.
Yeah, with the shade cloth.
Put a cover over it. You be in charge of your food, not someone else.
Good idea. Hopefully we can get rid of that pollution, too, though, here pretty soon. So, with God's rain cleansing the planet overnight, you know, at least the atmosphere, that's a tremendous creation. The pollution in the ground, on the ground, in the rivers takes longer, but the air itself can be purified after one good rain.
Right.
If we don't have any more.
Right, but you have to wait until that rain's done at least an hour or so, so that crud that's in it gets down on the ground. Of course, it's affecting the ground. And then you start saving that rainwater, so you're not without water. So there's a lot of things we can do. We've done so many things through the ages that we can save ourselves. But to finish this, just this introduction, it is beyond frustrating to know technology exists today where nutritionally sound foods without pesticides, herbicides, GMO, and other bad practices could be raised with bare impact on the environment. Every person on planet Earth should have clean food and water without exception. And that is where we must unite to have that. And it's not a wish. It's something we must do. What happened to change society economically, politically, and culturally? People whose very lives were tied to the land were displaced, ending a rich history of food cultivation. Food and culture are inextricably linked. Once food control was wrested, pulled away, so went the culture. We hope this knowledge will force us to wake up and act positively. If one person reading this wakes up and does something constructive, then it's worth it. Eating organic, non-GMO, grass-fed animal food can be expensive, but it's vital to minimize the panoply of toxic burden we face. As we will explain, politics has more to do with the fact we must pay more for healthy food versus junk than economics. There is no free market in agriculture. Like it or not, we taxpayers, and this is really powerful, we taxpayers subsidize junk food and political power that directly suppresses our ability to eat, drink, and breathe clean air. Does that not hit home?
Amen.
Amen.
I've experienced, we're all sickly because we don't have good quality food. We're low on energy because we don't have good quality food. And to have the energy to go out there and dig up a plot of land and plant a garden, you need that. And we have to, at this time, go through that great manual effort and get that done, and it's amazing. I can recall a corn crop I had one time, eating corn off the cob, and I just immediately had tremendous burst of energy from that. And about 2 years ago, I grew a tremendous crop of tomatoes and just tremendous energy from that.
And you, I don't even trust a corn cob when it comes into the grocery store because how much GMO is it?
Well, what is corn? It's all one species of seed now, and it's got the the Bacillus thuringii.
Yeah, I don't know all the different particular words about it. But I do know from reading from the paperwork that I've read what it has done overseas. These, and I'm not going to get the country right. I don't know if it was India or if it was.
I think it was India, where some of the farmers actually committed suicide. You're talking about
that's exactly the one.
When their animals died from eating the supposedly great invented new species. Yep. Of corn. Yep.
Yep. And their fields failed. They were bankrupt and they didn't know how to handle it and they committed suicide.
And did they wake up and realize that that was all pre-planned to destroy their lives by certain individuals on this planet Earth?
Well, I don't know if they really got that, but they got that they were the bad guys.
Yeah.
That Monsanto was the bad guy. And in Europe, they do not allow the farmers, supposedly, now I've been refuted on this, supposedly the farmers in Europe have said no GMO seeds, et cetera. But I don't know if that got held up and or sustained or what it got done.
I imagine it has been partially held up because there's a lot of crazy politics still going on in Europe.
Oh,
however, Russia's leading the charge and having the brains to realize we don't want our food supply tampered with, period,
and you know
growing
what,
it natural.
You know, what's your name?
Jim.
Hi, Jim. I'm Wonder Am, and it's a pleasure meeting you. And what you just said is so interesting because Russia never cared whether their people got fed. And all the horrible pogroms, or however you pronounce that word, that they did to their own people under the different socialistic thing called communism, Nazism, socialism, you can
Stalinism,
name whatever.
Leninism, all that, yeah.
It's all the same.
Interestingly enough, in the 70s, when I'm growing up, out of teenagehood into manhood, you'd see all these statistics always on the news and television, newspapers, how the United States was kicking butt on food production compared to the Soviet Union, just couldn't get it together and grow wheat, you know, or any crops. They were just a failure at it, and we were so successful. And now look what we got, and look at what's going on. And who's reversed that? Well, we know who's reversed that. So
correct. But you also have to look at the time they were doing that is also the time we had so much abundant food in our wonderful silos that we were not willing to share with other countries, as far as I know, when we were during the ravages of, oh, we can't have anybody starve. We got to feed the children. I had a city council person just last month say in the city council, now I think this is the year 2017, and she said, well, we've got to put the money to good use. And someone said, well, what do you mean by good use? Well, for education and feeding the poor and all, making certain they have a better life. And I said to her after the meeting, I said, ma'am, they've been doing that for a century and they still haven't gotten it right. So why are we putting more money in it when it only goes to the people looking like they're doing a job for the people? Because never does the money get to the people.
It's
she just
another,
never answered me. I
it's just
can't
another
understand.
Branch of the corrupt corporate
Absolutely.
Empire.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And Jim, the value of us all talking together is the vibration that gets out to other people. We are not talking for ourselves. We are talking to get that vibration. I even talked to someone here in a store I went into, which I'd never gone into because I thought it was closed. But what it really was a used old warehouse, and they have these wonderful, what do they call, when stores close out, they bring the stuff over to other places so they sell them at a cheaper price. And I went in there. They had marvelous coats in there for $20 and $30, very
mm-hmm.
heavy winter coats. And they had ski pants and gloves and different kinds of for men and for women. And I thought, wow, this is so valuable. But then we got talking about the weather and other stuff. And I said, this one gentleman was saying something. I said, well, what you can do is teach others what they need to learn so that you can do it. And the
All
lady
right.
was so astute. She said, I have, and you know what I keep hitting? Their comfort zone. They don't like to be uncomfortable.
That vibration you're describing is just really an intention to do the right thing. you know, individually to desire to be doing the correct things that are conscionable, that are good, that are wholesome.
Yep.
And you know, you could call that our goal, to educate people to the difference between right and wrong, and how much they would, how productive they would be as human beings instead of sitting at the computer and hating their job.
Yep, you got it. And the biggest thing that's so interesting is people, when they get excited about something, really like to do what they're doing if they're excited. What is it some people say when they're doing what they love to do? I don't find it work. I find it fun. And that's the way life should be, is that we can enjoy life rather than this cockamamie stuff that we're called work and slavery. Do you know the words plantation that a lot of the black people talk about? Oh, we're down on the plantation. I've always pictured the plantation like we get in our school books when we were kids, that it was this interesting kind of place where they grew cotton and all this other stuff. Well, what has been really happening is that the plantation is exactly what we're going through, all of us. Someone's dog is excited. And it is the idea that we are all slaves also. No one is exempt anymore. And that's what people really are uncomfortable about, finding, oh, the shoe's on my foot, and I'm the one having the problem. And that's true. It's very true. Most people don't even realize that they are in a slavehood called work.
It's actually hard for me to believe that people are unaware of what freedom really is.
Absolutely.
Liberty. Liberty is a greater word than freedom.
Absolutely. And they really miss a boat when they think they have freedom, because they can get in a car and they can go down the street and go to the grocery store and get what they want and come back home. They have no idea.
That there is the prison walls are like surrounding the whole state or the whole country.
That's right. Do you know what the word panopticon means?
I've heard of it, but no, I couldn't find it right now. Panopticon is like a big it's a big confusing mirage or something like that. But go ahead.
Well, what it really is, it's, you've got kind of the concept, but what panopticon means is that you are actually in a no-wall prison where you are actually being the one guarding you by the fact that you will report what anybody else is doing.
Well, I personally don't operate that way, but I experienced that just in the last 3 weeks, four or five people who were perfectly willing to attempt to injure me over nothing based on that theory. So they're just trained. They're trained like that. So to like there's a reward for the puppy. If they do that, they get a biscuit.
Correct. And I'll tell you the thing why I'm bringing it up. Is in the school where I go to Spartanburg Community College, and they have a panopto.
That was a song.
They have a panopto, and a panopto is the short of, they don't have the con on it, because the con is they would have much more factor of being spying on you, but they can't really do that because that would be really disruptive. But what they've done, and I'm bringing this up so anybody in a community college will look at the idea of what they can do. What they are doing is actually having you put all your information into their school, and then they can track you no matter where you go on their computers, which they're doing with the smartphone, with the smart meters, with all these smart appliances. They're tracking you all the time. So that's a panopticon even in our daily life, if you translate it.
And
to where, say that again.
Sounds like a little child.
Oh, okay. It's interesting to have different things.
You know what they call the smart grid is a part of that panopticon you're describing. So, you know, that ends up being like a robot assigned to each one of us. You know, in it, forms of it are around us, and people have already accepted that. Well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm not a criminal, so it doesn't matter if they know what color underwear I have on. You know. And
well, it's when they tell you that you can't wear that color underwear that you're lost it, or you have totally lost it.
It's really Hitler's dream come true. You know, he wanted all that. So
he did. And part of the thing, my daughter-in-law is German, so she was born and raised in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And she's around 53, 54. So she was just after the war type thing. Well, I'd say just after, but still that mentality was there. And she thinks it's not a problem to have these smart meters, which just got their smart meter and have already been told by the Duke Power Company here that they're using too much electricity. And I'm thinking to myself, guys aren't even home most of the time. So how are they telling you you are using too much electricity? But I kept my mouth shut, and I said that was actually a reason why you need to fight it, because it's none of their business how much electricity you use.
And who's the group, InPower.com, that is front and center fighting that in the country now?
Oh, we're doing that here in Spartanburg. We have sent in the affidavit.
Notice of liability. Right. Notice of liability, right.
Yep, and we send it into our city council and our county council. And yesterday we had a wonderful meeting with this young lady who, get this, she and her husband built a brand new state-of-the-art all-green house. And within 6 months, she was so sick, she could barely walk around. And as the years progressed, because they couldn't put their finger on what was wrong, and she got sicker and sicker, and they just didn't know what it was until someone said that line of, oh, these smart meters are so deadly, they can hurt you, and her ears perked up, and that's the only reason she's even now functioning. She went to her power company and told them, with a doctor's note, basically, saying, this is what's going on with my body. I want that meter off now. And they didn't want to do it because, of course, if she did it, someone else would want to do it, you know, that kind of mentality. But she did have, she did get it removed. What they are doing now, and with our doing that liability and having her, and we've got her story that we're now going to be sharing with the council is the fact that more people will be coming forward. Someone's breathing. You'll have to move your mic a little bit away from your face.
Can that be posted on the NLA site somewhere, the success of that?
I don't know. Ask Robert on the empowerment.com that they could go there and get the information. We're doing it with four people. That as one of our guys said.
It is. There is information posted, and we are working with them now actively, and so everything will be posted on the Empower Movement.
And they have been waiting for us to come forward, so it's time we step forward. It is about uniting.
We have stepped forward with Empower, and we'll be working with them.
Good. Glad to hear that. Because I know here in Spartanburg, we've taken their socks and ripped them up and down because of the fact we've sent them all the material. We gave them 1,500 sheets of paper for both the city members, which are 7, and the county members, which are 7. And so they have facts in front of them. And then we sent the actual liability to them. And they have about another 5 days. I think the 21st, that's even shorter than that, but it's about 5 days.
Well, people, if they can find a copy of that information, they could quickly duplicate it in their locality.
Well, that's exactly what Empower wants, is people to duplicate and do the. They're laying it out to where it makes it easy for them to do it,
and you follow
that's what
exactly.
They want.
You
and
follow it exactly.
There were CEOs somewhere resigning as soon as they saw that notice of liability?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the cases that they've won, actually, is that's what happened, is the people resigned.
Yeah. And in California, they have something like 58, I heard last night from from Bill, the guy who really augmented this, and he said there's like 58 cities and counties in California that actually have stopped the smart meters. And
yeah,
what
John
those,
is...
I'm going to tell you, I lived in California for 24 years. If it starts in California, it goes across the nation. I'm serious.
Well, John is actually doing a test case with his own meter, just testing out the program.
Well, I know we finally got a person that's doing it. But as I said last night with our meeting, I was a legal secretary, and we had one of the shipbuilders in Los Angeles Harbor. You had asbestos. The ships were built there. They were covered and filled with asbestos back in the 40s. It took them 40 years before they could verify that it was asbestos that killed 90% of those shipbuilders. And they died over that 40 years. This is the same thing that's going on with this smart meter stuff. We now have it for, I don't know, 5, 20 years. 7 years?
I think it started 20 years ago, maybe only 15. So I got to admit, I probably need to be hit over the head. I have 3 smart meters on my property, and I've noticed no real ill health effects, and I hear how terrible they are. So,
can I say yet?
Say again?
Can I say the word yet? Are you home, or is your wife home? Are your children home during the day? Or is your house empty?
Sometimes. And is it worse in the daytime?
What it is, to give you a reality, this woman was home during the day. She was a jogger. She worked out, but she came home and she did the cooking. She had three children. She was a very good housemaker and homemaker. And because she was home and doing this, they found that that is what really got her the sickest by being home all the time. When people go to work, they're not home. But what you have to picture is if you have a row of houses, those smart meters, they can take a smart gun and they can read all those houses at once. All that radiation is going through every one of those houses. Now, they used to have people that drove around and did that, so you'd get slammed. And every house person in those houses would be getting slammed with radiation. That was the old one. Then the newer one came on where they're in the office and they can do it at nighttime. Now, in my house, I turned off all my electricity. My meter wasn't even running. And I have an older smart meter. I do not have the new one. I looked at a new one at my son's business, and it was really awful because it was running and the numbers were flashing and then they were all stay still. And it was very odd. You could not read that meter.
The ones I have are 15 years old, and they like glow in the dark at nighttime. You know, there's like a red glowing light. So
you're an early smart meter, which is a phenomenal that it lasted 15 years. We've learned that they're only good for 7 to 8 years, where the old analog were good for 24, 25 years.
Yeah, they call them turtle meters, too, is what the power company calls them. So, and they are convenient that you don't have to call in your own meter reading or have someone invade your property constantly, a meter reader. Rural location. And I wonder if there is a technology out there that would work to read them radio without injuring us. And there probably is. The books I read is all these radio waves, microwaves, cell phones could be designed that would be harmless, but they're purposely designed to injure us a little bit at a time.
Well, Jim, the thing is, it's accumulative. It's not a little bit of time. It's accumulative. You've got your cell phone, which is radiation, your smart meter. Now, you've got to get the concept of what that smart meter is for. It's not just to read your electricity. It's to read what appliances you have, how often you use your appliance, what you're putting in your appliance, how often you use your washing machine, how much soap you use. It's going to be telling you when to buy your stuff. It's going to be a robotic reminder for you, and it's going to be a detriment health-wise.
I never agreed to any of that. It's not like the old Jetsons cartoon program, you know, that was supposed to be a great, wonderful world, all the technology. This is something evil you're describing.
It is something evil. But see, even what
John has a test case going on right now about smart meter.
He's doing a case for his own meter, so that he
where he's applying the notice a lot.
He can test out the technique and then he'll be able to write papers and see. He's agreed to help these people with writing up the techniques and everything. So he's doing it for himself at the moment.
The legal technique, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, you're not even going to go to a legal case. Empowerment isn't after legal case. They're after the people making the companies liable, get them to get it. They are liable for the damage.
Our interest is in making sure that people don't, they follow what they're told and not do something that's going to get them in trouble. And
that's
so
exactly
John is. That John is writing the papers to make sure that doesn't happen.
The empowerment has it all written out.
Well, they have a lot of it written out, but on our last conference call with them, they needed our help on some.
And all our great electronics, electrical engineers have all been, threatened with, we used to have a country that, these experts could quickly deduce whether something's dangerous or not, and it's all been hushed up.
This is not, expanding now from just smart meters to foreclosures and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need it on the cell towers and the phones. They're putting cell towers in school grounds, and the cell tower radiation is affecting all of these boys and girls' reproductive organs because there's so much radiation being put on those little bodies that
right. They
may not be any grandchildren for most of you.
I talked a couple of months ago about
great-grandchildren.
That unlimited private Federal Reserve money that they've got laboratories all over the world testing different things on rats and rabbits and guinea pigs, and it's now being focused on the human population, the results.
Absolutely. And this is why they're doing it, is to defertilize all of the upcoming children. And of course,
you got Agenda 21 mandates removing 9 out of every 10 people from the earth.
The genocide.
Yep.
It's all
genocide. And I've read in a book that they predict that the strongest species of human beings will survive all that, and that's what they wanted anyway, of the surviving, 1 out of 10.
Survival of the fittest.
Yes, you got it.
And then that's their worker slave right there.
Right, right.
And you've got to look at how long it's taken them to do this. We're in the 21st century, and they started it when? Before the BCs?
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the city of Atlantis, when it went down, they were already, before then, attempting to make a super slave race. It's all about slavery, and it's all about money, every bit of it.
Well, that's coming to an end.
Well, we
that's all about a psychopath, too, so.
Yeah,
well, it's coming to an end. I get a lot of communications from different sources, and of course, there's other people who are members that have their own sources, getting a lot more information too. And
if it bears fruit, Robert, go ahead.
Most people don't really understand what is taking place behind the scenes right now. Everybody's distracted by Christmas and all of that, and they're not seeing what's taking place. And sometimes I wish I didn't know everything that's happening.
Well, if it bears fruit, this is my own opinion, but this means that Donald Trump is really a reincarnation of a Jack Kennedy, in my opinion.
Well, you've got to understand that a lot of this is written in the Bibles, and God is involved.
Yep, and picking certain people to carry out his light force, his work.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, the way it's working is the way it'll make a difference. And those that'll be called forward will be called forward. Those that won't. And they'll never know what happened.
Yeah, well, Trump was one of those that didn't want to be president. He was, he had his arm twisted by military intelligence. And being a patriot, he felt it was his duty then to go ahead and run.
I've never
pretty
heard
impressive.
That, but I just had to hear
pretty
it.
Pretty impressive. I understand that, though, completely. So in my own personal life, there's been a God pushing me to get involved. So.
I've been working with Trump since before he was president. He was in need of information about different things, and so I provided
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a little bit more of a
knowledge
with some of the people.
Good information. I wanted to ask, did you say Spartanburg, Spartanville is in what state is that in?
Spartanburg,
what state?
South Carolina.
Okay, that's your homeland there?
That's where I live. It's not where I grew up, but it's where I live.
All right.
And the state was the first state that left the Union. So it has a long history.
Very good. I don't know a lot about South Carolina. I've been contemplating, though, you mentioned the articles, Confederation, and I tied that about 6 months ago. Wait a minute. The Confederacy, the Articles of Confederation, wait a minute. There's a connection here, you know.
That's correct.
And then to find out, you know, that what the South was actually trying to hold together the Constitution and what happened with Ulysses and Lincoln, martial law, Ulysses Grant. And it's quite mind-boggling interesting to get history a little more accurate.
Well, especially when you're having this array of attacking the Civil War in what it was doing, because all of those, the states that seceded, purposely seceded because of the strong arm movement that was being done against them regarding their
arming abilities.
Independence. About money.
Yeah.
No, it was about money. They were supposed to actually create the money so the North that was going into bankruptcy would be
mm-hmm.
saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason, it was called a tariff. The South was being charged a tariff for their cotton that the
mm-hmm.
North desperately needed and wanted it as cheap as possible. That's why after the war, the mills moved to the South so there wasn't the transportation cost. They had cheap labor, cheap water. They had plenty of manpower, and they could build these plants. Now, in Spartanburg alone, we had nine mills that you could do all your materials, your spools of thread, and weaving and everything. They're all around here. They're now rehabilitating them and turning them into wonderful loft homes. But they were purposely, the Civil War was purposely started over a tariff, not slavery. And this is the same BS that we get today about the racism. There is no racism. All that is divide and conquer. Everything that goes on is about divide and conquer. And to make certain the people never catch on that they're being divided and conquered.
Okay, it's that time again.
Oh, we darn!
I'm gonna cut off the recording here. And my email.